For members only, Golf Smarter number 192 for August 18th, 2009.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Finding your tour tempo with John Novosel.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for checking in for our members-only episode for the middle of August 2009. I reiterate the date because there are times in your life you will always remember where you were when a monumental event occurred. For many of us, it may have been the assassination of John F. Kennedy. For this generation, it was the Twin Towers of 9/11. There have also been events like the shuttle disaster, the deaths of Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, John Lennon. But now let golfers around the world mark where they were in the middle of August 2009 as the first time Tiger lost on a Sunday. And it was in a major. You know, I don't spend a lot of time talking about the tour because that's not why we're here. But if you weren't yelling at your TV watching the back nine from Hazeltine at the PGA Championships this past weekend, you missed some of the most compelling and entertaining TV that I've ever witnessed. God, what an amazing season that was. Four majors. And each time, a leader changed near or at the end of the tournament to provide us with a surprise winner. Another reason why betting on professional golf events is a silly, silly venture. Hey, at the end of today's show, we're going to be joined for a quick visit from Jesse Ortiz with an important announcement about our event on October 12th. But now, on to part two of our conversation with John Novosel, author and inventor of the Tour Tempo. We're just going to pick it up where we left last week. Now, I'm reiterating my intrigue about the difference between rhythm and tempo. Specifically, not finding your rhythm when you get on the golf course makes it difficult to get to your tempo. And when I talk about the rhythm, I'm talking, you know, if you get to the course late, you have to rush through. You've got to, you know, catch up with your friends. You're first off the tee and you hit two balls out. You know, all these things kind of throw your rhythm off before you can get to catching your breath and getting into a tempo. Does that make sense?
Sure, absolutely. And anything that you think about that you're trying to – here's my thing with, you know, the motions of the golf swing as far as the positions is that anytime you spend a lot of time on that, you're doing left brain thinking. And the left brain is not the one that hits the ball. The right brain is one that hits the ball. So the more that you engage in, you know, I'm going to take it back with my left arm and I'm going to do this or that, then the more you lose that reflexive nature that your right brain provides.
Okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Okay, so now we're at the nitty-gritty here of, yeah, how? I mean,
okay.
This all makes sense, and yes, I love the way you explain it, but what are we supposed to do with this information? How do we improve this? How do we find that rhythm, that tempo that will get us through the round and get us comfortable as we're playing? I know I played a round recently that it took me 9 holes to get into a rhythm. And once I got into a rhythm and I got into a tempo I was comfortable with, I was playing very well. But
yes.
I didn't play very well that front nine because I just felt like I was playing catch up with the other guys, you know, the other three players in my group.
Sure. Well, our whole thing is on the swing is you got to rekindle a feeling. And basically how you can't do that, you know, from the first tee unless you've actually worked with the tempo stuff. And we found that, in fact, my co-author John Garrity, when I first introduced the Tour Tempo to him, he wrote that, you know, all of a sudden things that he used, you know, was not, you know, coming over the top and casting and doing some other things with his driver. And some of these little nitty things that everybody works on as far as your weight shift and your shoulder turn and all this stuff, it all kind of worked itself out. And it became more reflexive because every other sport, we let ourselves get into the right brain because we got a ball coming at us or a person coming at us or a player, and we've got to react to it. Mm-hmm. And so that's my history. I played football at Kansas State University in Manhattan and was there on a scholarship. And basically – The tempo stuff is what you have to learn. You have to learn it, and the way we learn it is through the tones that are in the CD that's on the book. And basically, what you do, there's three tones. We made this so anybody from like a 6 or 7 year old child through a 90 year old guy can do it. And basically, there's three tones. The first tone alerts you to start your swing. The second tone alerts you to return the club to impact, and the third tone should line up with the sound of impact and the feel of impact. And these run over and over. They're based, music based, and so you get a rhythm going and a tempo going. Hmm. And it makes it it's the simplest thing in the world. And all of a sudden you're swinging to the tempo of the tour pros. And so that's it's so simple. It's one of that KISS thing, you know, keep it simple. Mm-hmm. So.
Hmm. So now the book here, Tour Tempo, Golf's Last Secret, finally revealed. You're mm-hmm. saying there's a CD, audio CD in there that has the tempos that we should be striving for?
That's correct. That CD's in there. It also has videos on how to use the tempo in your workouts. There's a part called the Tour Tempo Workout, mm-hmm. and it's extremely good. Probably never hit the ball farther in my life when I was doing that on a religious basis. And basically, we got those drills. They call them the Y&L drills. We got those from the guys we work with in Fort Worth, John Rhodes. He was a friend of Ben Hogan's. And John said he got those drills directly from Ben. So basically, we've modified them a little bit the way the tour pros do it today. But the whole thing's in there, and we've made it where it's extremely simple. We get emails all the time about how much people have improved with their tour tempo tones and the Y&L drills. So if you just want to hit balls, here's the whole thing. Why wouldn't, when we're hitting balls, why wouldn't we always be practicing to the correct tempo? We should hit every shot to the correct tempo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that would be one of the main things to do.
Now, when you refer to correct tempo, are there correct tempos for various level of skilled players? For instance, somebody who's a 5 handicap, is that going to be a different tour tempo than the 25 handicap player?
Yeah, that's a good question. Basically, yes. The 25 handicap, even if he's 25, he should work on the tour tempo tones. Because here again, we believe after the last 10 years that it's a fundamental of golf. So if I've got a 25 handicap, a 5 handicap, or if you're a player like Padraig Harrington, who's been using this stuff for about 3 years, you still want to go to the tones. It doesn't make any difference. It's a fundamental, so you should practice it just like you practice posture, grip, and alignment.
Before someone goes out and purchases your products and your books and stuff, mm-hmm. How do they identify for themselves their own tempo, or if they are all over the place on their tempo? Is there a way to do that? Is there a way to self-identify that this is an issue?
Oh, sure, yeah. They just need to have access. Apple's got a app called QuickTime, comes with the system, you know, when you buy an app, a Mac computer. And basically, you can run that by frame. And so what you do is you just take video of your swing, put it into QuickTime format, stick it on your computer, and then you can advance it frame by frame. When the club first starts away from the ball, that's the first frame. And you time that and see how many times it takes till you get to the top. And when you get to the top, it'll look like a still photo. The best players, the club looks like a still photo at the top. So that's your backswing time. So let's say in Padraig's case, it's 18 frames. Okay, now you're going to take the first frame down where there's now all of a sudden there's a motion to the frame, the club head starting back. That's the first frame down. And then when you get in, you measure that till you get to impact. That's your downswing frames. And if you're on it like Tiger and Padraig and the rest of them, you're going to be 18-6 at that point. Now, if you take too long to go down or too fast to go down, then you're not going to be on the tour tempo. And basically, that is the amateur's biggest problem. Sometimes they'll hit tour tempo, but mostly they're going to be all over the place, as they proved in the Yale study. They're not going to be consistent. That's what separates the pros from the amateurs. Their tempo is consistent.
Well, but what you've provided us in this last answer was a very high-tech solution to do
yes,
this.
Okay.
And I know that most of the audience are not Mac-based people. I'd love to have conversations with them about that, but you know, that's not relevant. So, but say you're out at the driving range. Say you're out there hitting balls, you know, rake and hit and rake and hit. What do you – yeah. What can you do to identify your tempo there and see
on a much simpler basis? Yeah, your best bet, if we've got a product we just brought out that's our best way to learn tempo, and you can tell if you're doing the right tempo by it. It's like a Bluetooth ear set, and it's called the Tour Tempo Micro Player, and it has got the long game tones. We didn't know about 18.6 when I brought out the book, so we've added the 18.6. Remember the guy that was the beer truck driver that won the senior event a couple years ago?
Sure.
He was an 18.6.
Now, explain again what you mean by 18.6?
Well, 18 frames back and 6 frames down.
Okay, that's the three to one. Yeah.
Then Mo Norman was an 18.6. And that's when, you know, here again, the best ball striker that we've known.
He didn't. I mean, obviously, Mo Norman, they didn't. A long time ago, they weren't aware of the, you know, basing on the frames of video.
Oh, absolutely not. See, that's why it's an amazing thing that we've discovered, is that some way all these pros, nobody knew about this information until at least 2004, okay, because that's when our book was published. But all these pros got to the same tempo. And you're talking these thousands of pros, including Mo Norman and Ben Hogan and Tiger Woods, all got to this tempo, you know, from some way they found, in other words, they started swinging, this became their tempo. And all the amateurs, they didn't have this tempo. That's what separated them as far as the tempo part of it. And so basically that's the interesting thing about the whole deal, that's why it's such an amazing fact, is that all these guys, without any outside help on tempo, they got to it and became tour pros. If that answers your question.
It does. But again, I'm still trying to figure out how the average recreational weekend hacker, okay, me,
oh yeah, well,
how can
okay,
I identify well, it without all the toys? Is it possible?
Well, that's impossible. Because a lot of people can't do it, forget it. Yeah, well, really, no, it's true. A lot of the people, they go out and they, like Ernie L's swing looks so smooth. So if you get a guy's swing that looks smooth, here's what they always thought before. If he looks smooth, it's great tempo. If he looks jerky, like Greg Norman, then it's not great tempo. Okay?
But
so
that's the whole difference. Is that the case? Is that true?
No.
Right. Okay.
So the whole thing is being reflexive. It has to be reflexive. And so, in other words, you can't really learn the tempo without our stuff. I mean, that's just the way it is. I can't change that. And if you don't have the computer set up and the video stuff, it's going to be almost impossible. But here's one thing: we all know it when we see it. You go to a pro tournament and you watch the guys swing, and they look smooth, but they're moving the club. We're talking most of the time about a second from takeaway to backswing. And I've seen posts on internet forums where guys are describing what happens, you know, from the top of the swing to the downswing. You know, your knee has to move first, your hips, and then your shoulders, and your arms, and blah, blah, blah. And it takes me about 3 minutes to read the paragraph, you know, and all this happens in 1 second.
Right.
So there's no way to do it. And here's the thing that'll help you on this. Okay, most people, when they get the book or get the micro player, and they try to go with the tones, they feel like it's way too impossibly fast.
Really?
But it's not. When I first started the 27.9, which is one of the tempos, a slower tempo, Payne Stewart and guys like that, it seemed so fast I couldn't believe it. When I first tested it, put it in the book, is I took it back a club, and when I heard the second beat, I was hardly the parallel with the you know, with the deal. I just got back from the course and hadn't been playing too good. And I said, I'm going to try something. So I kind of spaced out the tones, and it was horrible. So I figured, you know, I got to speed up the backswing to even approach this. And so now, though, I practice a 24-8, and it works out perfectly. But it seems like I've got a lot of time. So it's all kind of relative. It's very relative on this. So the people can start there. And the other thing is that I think we'd mentioned before about age I don't know if you watched the Players' Championship at Eastlake last year, but there's a guy named Eric Ball. He's 90-some years old. He saw Bobby Jones or was a member. I think he was the last living member of the Eastlake Club. And he had the honorary tee off, and he actually swung a 24-8.
Wow.
So, you know, if you're 90 years old, you don't have an excuse. And so anybody can learn it, and it's very simple how to do it. So,
well, now I'm a little skeptical. I'm sorry to do this to you. I'm a little skeptical. It sounds like you're saying that there is no way to identify how to do it unless you're using your product.
Well, no, you could use
Big video setup hooked up to a Macintosh.
Yeah, if you have the video setup, but there's not that I know of. I'm trying to figure. I mean, if you see the human eye and the brain, you're not going to be able to tell. You can tell when somebody's doing, obviously, you know, taking it back in a ratcheting fashion when they're going way too slow. I can tell that now after watching, you know, thousands of swings, both on the range and on video. But basically, the ratio itself and cutting it down to, hey, remember, one frame is 33/1000ths of a second. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if we've also got in the CD not only the piano prompts, the tones, but we have voice prompts. And so we use swing to start the swing, set where you start back to the ball with the club, and through when you hit the ball. So it's like swing, set, through. That's how fast the swing goes. Okay. So now the problem is, as humans, we can't tell. If you're just going to watch it by eye. I mean, we know when we see it. If you watch a tour pro and put him up against an amateur, we can tell the difference. But you still, if you got just an amateur swinging, you can't. It's too fine. It's too fine. We don't have that kind of a timing system in our brains.
So you're saying the optimum on the 3-to-1 would be 27-9, 24-8? Is that...
Yeah. Yeah, 24-8, 21-7, 18-6. Now, here's the other thing about
tempo.
It's
3-to-1, no matter how fast it is. It's 3-to-1.
Yeah, but you don't want to go past. You might be able to go 33-11 or 30-10, but you don't. Here's what's happened. Nancy Lopez is probably our best illustration of this. She was 30-10 when she was a young girl, winning all the LPGA tournaments. Mm-hmm. Okay, today she's like 46-10 or 11. It's 12, maybe something like that. So what she's done is, you can tell on her swing, and that's why she's not playing anymore. Her tempo is she's not doing a reflexive swing. She's just letting the club sit up there and then, you know, swinging the club from the top with no reflex action. And so basically on her you can tell, but on those are extreme cases. You know, just like the guy that came in was 58, so she's kind of in that category. And it's a shame because when she was doing 30-10, she was very reflexive and won all the tournaments.
And a quick question here. Okay. What we were talking about the swing all the time. Your putting stroke, is that also 3-to-1?
No, that's what makes golf so hard. I wasn't really too worried about the putting stroke. I've always been a fairly good putter. But we found out when we did the research for the micro player is that the problem with golf is the full swing is 3-to-1. And the short game, we're talking pitching, chipping, bunker game, even approach shots, depending on whether you're a pro or you're an amateur, can be 2-to-1.
Oh.
And so, yeah. And
well,
so,
you just threw a huge curveball here. I'm glad I asked.
Exactly. And that here again, that's what makes it so tough. And when you see a guy skull a sandwich in the bunker, you've probably never seen that. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Right, exactly.
Well, what happens is he's probably way too fast coming down, and he's probably doing the 3-to-1 coming down. When you're in the bunker, it almost feels like gravity's taking. You should feel like gravity's bringing the club down just about. But we have the 2-to-1 tones on our micro player. We put those in. There's four different 2-to-1 tones. When Tiger's doing his best, he'll be 16-8. Brian Gay, we just timed him. He was about 21-10. I'm trying to think of other guys, good putters. Anyway, they're all going to be 2-to-1. And I find out from this information, there's also some other people that have been involved in really tracking the putting. They've done thousands of putts, and they all end up being 2-to-1. And here again, it needs to be reflexive, though. You can have these ratios and not be reflexive, and that's not going to be third tempo. It has to be a reflexive. You have to react to that second beat, and when you react to that, that gets your whole body moving in an appropriate manner.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, that's the hard thing about golf.
Yeah. Well, golf's hard.
Yeah. It's got a lot of stuff.
It's got a lot of stuff. It's really hard. It's not easy, and guys like you come along and say, make it harder. Because you're bringing out things. Not that you're making it harder. It's yes. You're pointing out stuff that we never thought about. It's like, oh, I've got to think about something else now.
Like, you know, you don't have to think about it.
And it takes us back to where we started with it. It really isn't. You know, the tempo is a fundamental that's not really treated like one.
That's correct. And it should be taught from the time a kid picks up a club or an adult when he starts the game. You should start that right away. And it what it does is it takes – I get emails all the time. It's, you know, this stuff is taking my mind off of all the 20-point checklists I'm trying to remember when I get up to hit a shot. And one thing I caution the listeners on is that this might work for you. We don't advise it. But I don't actually want you thinking about the tones when you're playing. It is actually I just – you know. Yeah. Now, some people
okay.
say they can do that.
Go out to the range, practice like crazy, and then forget about everything you've just done.
Yeah, and you can take the micro player out on the course with you when nobody's, you know, if you're just practicing. I do it all the time. I take it out on the course, hit a shot with the long game tones. I'm on the green. I get the short game tones going. Next tee, long game tones, and you know, as you go along. But you know, can't turn that in on, you know, for a USGA handicap purpose or in a tournament. But you can practice like that, and you always should practice it when you're hitting balls. But yeah, you don't want to be thinking about it. Then it becomes intrusive, just like your 20-point checklist.
Yeah.
So that's basically that's just a little thing we found out that some people can do it. I get emails, you know, they say, I think about the tones, I'm playing great. I'm going, you know, more power to you. Whatever works, do it. So.
Wow. So tell me the website that you guys have and where we can find out more about Tour Tempo and all your teachings. And
yeah, it's just tourtempo.com.
Okay.
And that's got all of our stuff on there. And if you go there, we got just a ton of information about the tempo, all the different press reviews we've got, the Yale study just goes on and on.
And do you have just instruction, or it's mostly about the products?
Mostly about the products, and then my son's got a great blog. He's a Remax long drive guy. He's about 6'1", 165, and he actually hit it 402 in a Remax competition a couple summers ago. He had an ACL operation, so he's just recovering from that, but he's back now hitting at 370, 380 all the time. So
402?
Yeah, 402
in competition?
Yeah, in a Remax.
And he's only 6'1"?
6'1", 165 pounds.
So that's all club head speed.
That's the secret of the game. See, club head speed properly applied with the correct tempo. And basically, he's got a great blog. It's called golfstrong.com, and then you can access it from our website. And he's a nut on all the stuff. We held a school in Phoenix, and he stopped by a 3D measurement place, and we had a lot of fun with all that stuff. But basically, his club head speed is up over 140 miles an hour. And this is, yeah, and basically when we started this years ago, his club head speed was probably about 107. That's with a driver. Mm. So the you can increase your club head speed. We've got quite a few long drivers using the tempo and our speedball equipment. So basically, we're nuts on club head speed and distance. So, and consistency. If you have to have a consistent swing to get all that stuff to work great for you.
Right. So finding that tempo, finding that rhythm for yourself is the key to being consistent.
Absolutely. It makes perfectly good sense. If I take the same time, back swing and down swing every shot, I'm going to be consistent.
Yep. And as long as you keep it in the 3-to-1 range and not be all over the place.
That's right.
That's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It. Very cool stuff.
Thanks.
You are really a geek on this stuff, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, that's why I said I'm probably a Mo Norman instructor, because nobody else would spend the time I've spent on it.
Very good. John Novosel, tourtempo.com. Thanks so much for your time. This is really a lot of fun. I appreciate the insights.
Fred, glad to be here, and I look forward to maybe being on the show again.
You know, I was glad you were here, too. So, what do you think? Does this make sense to you? I've never been a huge fan of training aids, but like I talked about last week, using this product over the past few months has been a simple enhancement to my swing that really has had an impact. And the most revealing sign has been consistency. Once I got into my tour tempo and have been adhering to it, my swing and the results from that swing have been more consistent. Okay, look, as a member, I can give you a little more information that I'm not allowed to share on the website. But we have to list this product at $99.95 as we sell it in our Golfers Mart, but not on our members site. We don't have to list it that way because it's a private site and I can do what I want. So we're selling it to our members at $84.95, $15 off. But when you enter the coupon code TTMP001, TTMP, Tour Tempo Micro Player, 001, you get another $15 off, and then the price is only $69.95 plus shipping. That's $30 off the price that you'll find anywhere online or in this guy's backyard. So some people have been having trouble with getting their full discounts on our Golfers Mart for members only, and I apologize for that as we work out the bugs. But here's the deal. First, you have to log into the members only site at golfsmarter.com, and you can do that since you are a member. Then you also have to log into our Golfers Mart. Now, it's programmed to accept the same email address and password that you use to log into the member site. And once you're there, use that coupon code TTMP001 and get $30 off the suggested retail price. That's $69.95 plus shipping. Now remember, there's a limited supply and they have been moving in the last week, so get yours today. Okay, so last week I told you that Jesse Ortiz of Bobby Jones Golf will be joining us at our group recording session after our round of golf on October 12th at our barbecue, pars, and podcast event. Well, here's the news I've been waiting to share with you. Yeah, this is the President's Cup event. Jesse is going to play golf with us, too. Now, three names will be drawn before the round begins, and those lucky winners will be in Jesse's foursome. Actually, look who we just happened to have on the line. Jesse, I am so excited that you're going to be joining us on October 12th at Peacock Gap in Marin County to play golf with us.
Well, thanks, Fred. I'm looking forward to it, too, because I don't get a chance to play much golf. But, you know, this should be a lot of fun. I haven't played Peacock Gap since I was a kid in high school, so, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, then you'll see a completely different Peacock Gap. We actually did an interview with Forrest Richardson, who did the redesign on the golf course. You're going to see a very different golf course. But you've played there when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to, every once in a while, we'd go across the Golden Gate Bridge to Marin, and it was an exotic trip because we were always playing Harding Park or Lincoln, but to go out to Marin, that was like going to the countryside. So it was a big deal for us to get out of the city and play a completely different golf course.
Now, it's interesting you bring up Harding Park because the timing of this couldn't be more advantageous for us to get together because this event is happening on Monday, but the weekend before is the President's Cup at Harding Park. You have any great memories of Harding Park, stories you can share with us?
Oh, I've got the stories or memories. I've got a ton of them. I remember my first experience with Harding Park was as a sign boy during the Lucky International tournament, which used to be played. You know, was played in the '60s there, and I remember, you know, Chi-Chi winning, and one year Steve Spray, and you know, I remember I was the sign boy in the group. I think it was with Bob Lund, George Archer, and I forgot who the third one was. But George Archer couldn't hit a fairway and didn't hit the ball very far off the tee. But, boy, when he got near the green, he'd put it almost tap-in distance, and it was pretty demoralizing for Bobby Lund and the other golfer. I think it was Ronnie Cerruto. You know, these guys were hitting the ball great, and Archer beat him because he could put the ball in the hole. It was incredible.
Mm, unbelievable. But more importantly, you're going to be coming out to play with us. And also, Bobby Jones Golf's going to have a tent set up that day to do demos. Let's talk about a little bit of the product that people are going to get a chance to hit when they come out and join us.
Yeah, well, we'll have a demo tent out there, and we'll have bags of all the clubs, you know, the hybrids, the wedges, drivers, the fairway woods. Everything will be there for all the participants to try out. And three lucky or unlucky winners, depending on how you look at it, are going to get a chance to see my stellar game. Since I only play six times a year, it should be interesting. But you know, I'm looking forward to having a lot of fun with three winners. So, guys, you know, they got to sign up there at golfsmarter.com.
Oh, thank you. And the most exciting aspect of this is not just your time with those three people, those three lucky winners who are going to be able to play with you, but after we're done playing golf and the barbecue, we're going to sit down and we're going to record a conversation with the audience there so they can ask questions as well to do a future episode of Golf Smarter.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I look forward to that. You know, people have a lot of questions, whether they're about our clubs or just the industry in general or golf equipment design, and I like these kind of town hall meetings. I try to make them pretty entertaining and fun for everyone.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's going to be a town hall meeting, and everybody's invited. If you can't be one of the people who sign up early and play with us, that's okay. You can still come for the recording session. It'll be about 5:30 that afternoon. All at Peacock Gap in Marin County. Sign up again at golfsmarter.com. Jesse, we really appreciate you sharing your time with us and coming out and being one of the Golf Smarter family members, because we love having you on the show.
No, Freddie, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a fun day.
And it's going to be even more fun when you sign up to join us. So, once again, if you live in California or you're going to be in the Bay Area for the President's Cup, join me and Jesse Ortiz at Peacock Gap for 18 holes of golf, barbecue, Bobby Jones Golf product demos. And when you sign up, you'll also get reserved seats for that recording session when I interview Jesse and the head teaching professional, Adam Eisner, of Peacock Gap, for a future episode of the Golf Smarter podcast. Actually, I've been saying that the Prague Adventure will be episode number 200. I may share that one a little bit earlier. I don't want a full month to go by before we get to share with you what happened on the trip. But now that I think about it, episode 200 is actually the day after this event. So it's a big deal in the podcast world to be celebrating 200 weeks of continuous content. So I'm really happy that you can celebrate with us. The recording session and Bobby Jones Golf demo will be open to the public, but space is very limited for golf. So please sign up as soon as you can at golfsmarter.com. There's also links and additional information on our Golf Smarter Facebook group, but it all leads back to golfsmarter.com. October 12th. Oh, I hope you join us. Hey, congratulations, Dan Jacobs of Flower Mound, Texas, because you are going to receive an autographed copy of Breaking the Slump by Jimmy Roberts. You know why? It's because you're a member, and every time we do a members-only episode, I'm going to try to give something away. Just want to remind you again to check into the Golf Smarter blog regularly, because when I book an interview, I'll post information about that recording session and the guest and any links to their site. And I bring it up because I posted a blog entry last week. We're going to be doing a review and information show about golf GPS systems. You know how much I love toys like this. And the guy joining us is from golfgpsdealsforyou.com. So he's got no specific bias, and we'll be talking about the best units, how they work, what to look for, and the future of that platform. So if you have anything you'd like to know about Golf GPS, make sure you click on HeyFred at golfsmarter.com and submit your question. Now, I've just implemented a very cool new feature from Google Voice that's on that page as well. Now, once you submit your question, you can click on the Google Voice, you enter your phone number in, it'll call my phone number, and you can ask the question. This phone call is free, by the way. You can ask the question that you have about golf GPS systems or any question that you have about golf, and I'll have an MP3 file of that recording that you leave, that message, and we can put it in the show. So that way, when you ask a question, you'll really be asking the question. I don't have to read it. But you do have to still submit your question, so if we can write back to you as well. Now, we close today with another quote submitted by Aaron Billman. Hey, Aaron, are you listening right now? Because I really expect to see your name on that list of players at our Golf Smarter Barbecue Pars and Podcast Party on October 12th. I know you're in Northern California, and you will be coming to join us. Anyway, to me, the quote that Aaron submitted sums up the 2009 majors. A golf match is a test of your skill against your opponent's luck. Next week, Jason Finley, product manager of Irons and Wedges for Callaway Golf. If you have any questions, comments, requests, or quotes, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com. And don't forget, you can now leave me a voicemail too.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.